Hello and welcome to the EFL Freezer Crowd podcast. As always, I'm joined by Andy.
Good evening.
Oh yeah. And Luke.
All right, guys.
Yeah, not too bad, mate. How are you?
Not too bad.
In a week where own goals were flying in, Barrow and Bradford prove they don't need a manager, and London joined the competition to see if it can move from Tier 2 to Tier 4 faster than Wigan or Bolton. Welcome back to the pod.
Yeah, there was plenty of that for the Carlisle and Coventry fans this week, wasn't there, gents? Luke, what happened?
No comment.
I get the feeling he doesn't want to talk week. This week.
Was it any more exciting at Forest Green Rovers this week?
Carlisle had chances, my newfound club.
Oh, did a wee nearly
yeah.
Oh,
I've got out there. A wee, definitely.
That's the first week.
Yeah, I've got to say we now. I'm a proud Carlisle fan. Don't even know their nickname, but I'm a proud Carlisle fan.
And, <that's it.
laughs> yeah, we've lost to the Vegans. We've lost 1-0 to Forest Green Rovers. Started off well, had a few chances. Forest Green Rovers goalkeeper Luke McGee has made some unreal saves. And then they've scored some scrappy League 2-esque goal in the second half and bundle it over the line. And they've lost 1-0. So welcome to EFL football supporting.
Yeah, we did say, didn't we, that, you know, you're going to be the curse now. They're going to slowly drop down the league. Well, hopefully slowly.
You'll be hoping they quickly fall down the league.
Yeah, exactly.
To be honest, I don't care how.
I mean, that's harsh. We've got nothing against Carlisle.
Just Luke.
They're going to be very overrepresented.
Yeah, I think they were missing John Mellish, top goal scorer for midfield.
Oh, yeah, your mate, John.
My mate. they just don't look
Can
like
you really work. Miss something you've never had?
Forest Green, though, to look a decent side. Probably not the worst team that you're going to come up against this season.
Carlisle are better at home than they are away. And Forest Green have just leapfrogged them into second place. So, yeah, one of the harder teams. You can't complain too much. Mark Cooper, the manager, Forest Green manager after the match, had possibly the worst post-match I've ever heard. Absolute wordsmith. Listen to this.
Mark, if you could choose one word to sum that game up, what would it be?
One word would be... pleased.
One word. Took him 20 seconds. One word. Jesus Christ.
That is a difficult question. Just say something. Well, Mark Cooper was pleased with his Forest Green team's performance. I'm not sure Mark Squeaky Robbins will be too pleased, James.
No, he wasn't too pleased. But I think he didn't seem too downbeat on it, to be honest. He sort of said that on the back of 8 unbeaten, maybe it was just a game too far and a bit of fatigue was setting in, and we were missing a couple of key players, which probably would have made a bit of a difference. But yeah, I think we just got Tony Pulis, to be honest. Not much we could have done other than maybe don't give away a free kick and then defend it a little bit better. But we looked toothless up top, and not a great weekend for us. But to be honest, you're always going to look toothless when your go-to man to bring off the bench is Amadou Bakayoko.
What, 20 goal a season, Bakayoko?
20 goals, any striker whose main song is about the fact that they play football the offside way does not belong anywhere near the Championship. And on that sour note, we'll move on to Millwall, please, Andy.
It's been a while since we've drawn, hasn't it? It's still every other game is a draw, so we are on for the record still, 23. But yeah, this time didn't really feel like a draw like the other games. 1-1, another bit of good link-up play from John Daddy and Bradders up top for the goal. But then just stupidly concede straight away with just a ball over the top that no one dealt with. I think it was Alex Mighton with his first senior goal, just a ball over the top, and he's running behind way too easy, sloppy after just scoring. And then with a better team in the second half, just couldn't score, same old thing, and we're back on for the draws record.
Yeah, I think I saw quite a lot on social media from the Forest fans who seemed quite pleased with it, to be honest, whether that was a reflection of the fact that you maybe could have won it had you had a little bit more up top, or just the fact that they've struggled a bit at the moment and maybe a point is something for them to build on.
Well, the run they're on, you look at away at Millwall and you'd take a point, wouldn't you? I think the fact, I mean, we don't want to talk about the officials on this podcast. Oh, wait, we do. I mean, first half, there's a clear handball. I'm not sure how he's not given it.
And at that point, I'll interject and say, we had the exact same situation. Like another clear handball not given. I'm just sick of it now.
It's just the refs don't seem to know anything to do with the handball or anymore.
Anything to do with football.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, didn't we, on the weekend or the week before.
It feels like there's such a lack of clarity now. They'd rather just not give anything than risk giving one, and it's like then criticised for being wrong. But some of them are just so obvious that they're missing at the moment. It is actually getting quite frustrating, to be honest.
Yeah, but yeah, we should still be putting more than one past that Forest team at the moment. With a 4-4-2, we're playing at home, but I think just a little bit of lack of quality. Should have Ken Zahor back, hopefully, in the new year, which will make a world of difference. But
yeah, that's a huge boost for you, to be honest, and not the news I wanted to hear, looking at our fixtures.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it, if his first game back was the big one, Coventry Millwall.
Derby Stoke?
We've had that.
We've had it twice, haven't we?
At least... Being Carlisle, Coventry, Millwall, a good weekend's work, 1 point between us. Let's move on.
Well, I've just staggered up the stairs after an half time siding, and we're fucking losing again.
And this week's roundup of the news from the EFL. First up, Watford have sacked Ivic. Big news. A lot of people were a bit shocked seeing as they're only fifth in the league.
Yeah, I think on the face of it, it looks harsh. You know, he's just won the manager of the month last month, I believe, sitting fifth in the table with a long way to go. It does feel harsh. But then when you look at the quality of their side and where they should be, maybe more the performances than the results, then actually you can kind of understand why they've done it. And maybe they want to get a manager in before January, so that they can have a window to sort it out themselves, maybe. So it does seem harsh, but I can actually for once maybe understand why they've done it.
It just seems to be something that Watford do every 4 months, is just sack a manager. Like, I have to admit, one thing I do every 4 to 6 months is I move the furniture around in my living room just to switch things up. And it seems to be what Watford do every 4 to 6 months is just sack a manager for a fresh start. It's just ridiculous.
Slightly different implications, yeah, in those situations.
Yeah, Luke, when you switch around your furniture, I don't think you've got 20,000 people booing you, have you? I mean, you've only got a couple.
Only a couple of thousand, yeah.
No, I do agree with everything James said there. I mean, it's just
not Luke.
Not Luke.
I don't think anyone would agree with whatever just came out of Luke's mouth there. But on a serious note, I think it's more the performances. I mean, they've won some games, but it has been really boring, hasn't it? I mean, they've got the strongest squad in the league. You could argue Norwich and Bournemouth have got similar squads, but I think Watford, biggest wage bill in the league. They should be, the quality of players they've got, they should be beating teams fairly easily at this level. And they do look like they could just slip down a little bit if they keep playing the way they are. And they've been papering over the cracks with some 1-0 wins. The thing is, I may agree with the board when they sat them there if they brought in the right man, but
yeah.
News just breaking as we record today, Cisco Munoz has taken over from Dynamo Tbilisi.
Oh, Dynamo Tbilisi, of course.
Yeah, and I mean, that is the biggest team on his managerial CV. Or just his CV in general. Well, they are top of the Georgian League.
It feels a bit strange, that, though, because it's like they've only just sacked him and then they've brought the new guy in so quickly. There clearly wasn't much room for other managers to put their names into the hat for a little go at it. You're thinking the managers that are out there at the moment that might fancy a go, maybe the likes of someone like Eddie Howe. I think his name was thrown around a little bit when there was rumours that they might be looking for a new manager. But to go from sort of an Eddie Howe to someone who's top of the Georgian league just feels a bit strange.
Well, they've done that every time, I think, haven't they?
Like, yeah.
They seem to have someone lined up through the connections they've got at Watford. And I don't know. I mean, in one way, it's good that they're not going on the same managerial merry-go-round that every other team in the league is. But on the other hand, they're appointing a guy who's managing in Georgia, whose team lost 6-1 to a team from the Faroe Islands in the Europa League qualifier. So, I mean, there's got to be a balance there, isn't there?
And they're hoping they've struck it this time with money.
Well, yeah, you keep going, yeah.
If we put it all on red enough times. And well, obviously with that, to a team whose fortunes are slightly better at the moment, we've got an unstoppable Brentford who are now 15 unbeaten, and another good result for them this weekend.
Yeah, it's good to see Bryson Buemo back in the goals. Is that the first time he's ever scored 2 goals in a game, was it? Which was a bit surprising.
Statman, can you confirm that?
I think I heard that.
Confirm that.
Yeah, it is true, yeah. I heard that too.
But anyway, yeah. After the loss of Watkins and Benrahma, he was the one remaining of the BMW. And he's got his... he's revved... them ahead there, isn't he? Is that the best car pun someone can come up with there?
I mean, if you'd given us chance to come up with one, maybe we would have done better, but you've just absolutely zoomed in with yours.
Jesus.
No, they do look good at the moment though, don't they? Like you say, obviously having lost those attacking players from last season, you did wonder, there was that little bit of doubt there for me. Could they do it again and could they push on? Well, they're looking like they definitely can at the moment.
Yeah, they're a club that have been rebuilding very well over and over again and keep selling these big players and keep building something new. And it does seem to keep working. I think Ivan Toney's obviously been a big part of that. But Mbeumo stepping up is big. It's been part of this run. They have drawn a lot of games in this unbeaten run. But I do think they're one of the strongest in the league and they should be looking to go up again.
And... from one team they're absolutely flying at the moment to the Wright brothers, who seem to be failing to take off. Not necessarily going too well for them down in League Two, is it?
No, neither of them started in the Leighton Orient Crawley game, so not off to a flying start.
No, that's the same joke. Yeah, I think we briefly mentioned that some good wins as well for some managerless sides. Bradford and Barrow in League Two down the bottom. Who needs a manager?
Yeah, well, it's nice to see Barrow get a win again. They've struggled recently and hopefully that'll give them a little bit of confidence to move away from the bottom. And obviously Bradford, huge win for them. Kind of wondered what would happen after sacking the manager. And I think we spoke about last week, who do we think might step into a couple of these roles? It's hard to know at the moment, but yeah, great wins for them.
I looked at who was favourites for both of those jobs. I mean, there's some good names there as well. Bradford, Paul Hurst, who did well with Shrewsbury and struggled with Ipswich and Scunthorpe. And then Jonathan Woodgate. I mean, he's if he goes anything like his Real Madrid debut, he'll be absolutely box office again there after he had a struggle time at Middlesbrough. And then Barrow, Michael Jolly, favourite for the job, great name. Sam Ricketts as well, who showed a bit of promise at Shrewsbury. But hasn't really done it after that. I'm sure James knows a bit about him from finishing his career off at Coventry.
Yeah, he was someone who finished his career at Coventry, and whilst he was finishing it, I think he did his badges whilst he was still sort of playing, took on a bit of a coaching role. He's someone, maybe because of that, I would actually like to see get another go, because he did quite well at Shrewsbury and then he actually built a team that didn't look too bad, and then I'm not quite sure what happened this year. It's tailed off and been a bit disappointing for him. Yeah, it'd be interesting again to see like a Woodgate get another go. It really didn't work out for him at Middlesbrough, did it? So you do wonder where they go from here. Do you just kind of do okay, that's not working, let's never touch management again? Or do you drop down and manage Bradford and Barrow?
Well, I mean, if you're into it, that's what you do. And Woodgate, I mean, I'm sure we'll all appreciate if he does do that. But you are right. I mean, at least these teams aren't going into the Georgian League to find... their new managers.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it'll be good to see Ricketts and Woodgate back in if they do get the jobs. I mean, now I've said that, almost certainly both of them won't get it.
Yeah, I think also everyone's just waiting for the Cowley brothers to finally take a job. I'm not sure they'll be brave enough to take on one of those two, but it will be interesting to see how they get on with whoever takes over, really. I think you mentioned last week that Barrow were obviously building something based upon an expansive game under Everett. It was always going to be hard for whoever came in to try and replicate that and carry on the good form they were in from last season. So clearly there's a basis of a good squad there for them, and it will be interesting to see who comes in.
And going to one of the more bizarre moments from the EFL action this weekend was the state of the pitch at Swansea. I mean, me and Luke know the city of Swansea fairly well after our university days down there. And I mean, it is the closest university to the beach in the world, but I didn't know their football pitch was on there as well.
Oh, dear.
I mean, what has happened there?
More sand than the Gower. Jesus. Yeah. It looked terrible. Mumbles. Haven't they torn it up now?
I think they're in the process.
I should hope
as we
so.
Speak. Yeah.
As we speak, someone's out there at 9:45 taking up the Swansea pitch. Yeah,
we'll pretend we do this at a normal hour. Yeah, but I mean, they still managed to score twice in that game, Swansea, although they did force our friend Victor Adeboyejo into an own goal.
Oh, nailed
so,
the
that then. Must have been the pitch, although it was headed in from a corner, so he obviously didn't want it to touch that awful, awful, awful grass.
If you can even call it grass.
Yeah, it feels. Did I mention it was awful?
Talking of something else that's a little bit bizarre, either of you heard the Gareth Ainsworth charity single?
No, it is for charity before we start.
I was going to say, I like Gareth Ainsworth. I think he's a nice chap. He looks like the sort of stepdad that your mum needs, but it's not good, is it? It's not good. Lovely chap.
Are we allowed to play some of it on this? Or we'll make a donation, I'm sure.
No, I don't think we'll be allowed to. And I don't really want to.
Oh, okay, we'll save everyone's ears from that. I mean, some people are saying that was a bit of an own goal from Gareth Ainsworth. Well, he can join the other 9 own goals in the Football League this weekend. It seemed a little bit own goal heavy, didn't it? I mean, we started off with the Hull-Portsmouth game, 2-0 to Portsmouth. No shots on target for Portsmouth, 2 goals. Thanks to Jacob Greaves and Josh McGuinness.
If you sit Kenny Jackett down for a pre-match interview and say, Kenny, write down for us how you want a game to go. I think Friday night was just about perfect for him.
And I mean, we are fans of him on this show. I mean, but he gets a bit of stick from Portsmouth fans. But
yeah, we are, aren't you?
And I'll speak for everyone. They're top of the league now. I mean, and they look like they're flying.
Yeah, it's their year. Oh, no.
Well, for his sake, I hope it is. I mean, Watford have obviously sacked a manager in fifth and looked like they were planning to do it no matter whether they were second or fifth. So let's hope the same doesn't happen to our friend, my friend and yours.
No, I agree. Like, I do want to see him do well. He's taken a hell of a lot of stick over the last few seasons. And I think I said in one of the early episodes that actually, if he'd had the chance to finish the season last season, I think they would have finished right up there. So it's nice to see him doing well. And to be honest, a club like Pompey probably do belong a little bit higher than where they find themselves at the moment.
Luke's quiz. Edit that in.
Luke, after last week's very successful introduction of the quiz, I've heard you've got another big question for us this week.
Do we have to?
Oh, yes. We're on to round two. Week two of the Last Man Standing quiz.
I've already fallen.
Already 1-0 down, Andy. But it is James to go first this time. Got a bigger question this week, a lot more answers, so you can always sling out a guess if you need to.
If we get a wrong guess, you're going to offer us a little second life?
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how early
see how it goes.
We fall down.
This week, James to go first. How many FA Trophy, or Mickey Mouse Trophy as James calls it, we know it as the Checker Trade or the Johnson's Paint, how many winners can you name? James to go first.
It'd be wrong for me not to start with Coventry. So, Coventry.
Bristol City.
Oh, no, that's where I was going. Multiple time winners. Portsmouth.
Southampton. Okay, now I'm struggling. Right. You're giving him extra thinking time here, Luke. Come on.
I've got to hurry him up.
I'm pointing to my watch, by the way, listener.
Oxford, no, we beat them. Jesus. I will go with Leeds.
Not sure I would have got another one, but don't need it, do I? Or?
That's it.
Do you want another life?
I haven't got any more answers, so no.
Right, that's 1-1. 1-1 on the last man standing quiz, so it's all square. I played Andy.
Can you play my clip, or?
Well done, Andy. Yeah, the teams you could have had, Bristol City have won it the most. Portsmouth won it last year, 2019. Cov won it 2017. Lincoln won it in between, 2018.
Oh, no.
Barnsley, you could have had Peterborough, Crewe, Chesterfield and Carlisle. Won it a couple of times. Won it a couple of times.
So when he said we...
I bloody meant it.
This is just ridiculous.
It is a little bit ridiculous. The amount of own goals we've seen across the EFL in the last week or so. And talking of own goals, surely one of us has brought one to the table for goal of the week this week. What we got, Luke?
I haven't bought one. I've gone for a ridiculous goal by a ridiculous player at the moment. One of the best players in League Two, who's having a goal of the season competition with himself. And I don't know, like, this is a thing that me and James talked about quite a lot, Andy. Of like certain players who have had goal of the season competitions with themselves, like
without you.
Yes, yeah. I wish I was invited to that chat whenever that took place. It sounds scintillating.
Well, Lewis McGugan had a competition with himself when he was at Forest many years ago.
Adam Reach. There's a blooper.
James. Oh, that's staying in.
That's staying in. Frank Moussa, James, you'll be pleased to hear his name. He had one with himself. Feed the Moose and he'll score. Do you remember he scored about 8 goals or something one season? I swear they were all from 40 yards.
That guy didn't know how to score a bad goal. He just he really did have a season where everything he touched from like 40 yards or more out hit the back of the net. I had this hilarious moment where I've gone to watch Coventry against Bristol City, away at Bristol City, and I've gone with some family members who are Bristol City fans, and I've had to sit in the Bristol City end, and literally within sort of 5 minutes of kickoff, Frank Moose has gone and scored, put us 1-0 up, and I've accidentally stood up in the wrong end and started cheering. And had to pretend that I was really disappointed, suddenly turned the cheer into a, oh no, they've scored. But Frank Moose, a player.
Yeah, another one who had it was Ruben Neves, who had no right being near the EFL. And this season, we've got Scott Twine, who seems to just score from 30, 35 yards every other week. And he picks it up against Oldham, wasted because they lost to Harry Kewell's side in the end. He's picked it up from 35 yards out, made half a yard of space. And to use the old cliche, he's got no right to shoot, but he just pumps it in from 35 yards. It's an absolute thunderbolt. So I bought Scott Twine's.
He's an interesting player as well because he's on loan from Swindon.
Yeah, weird.
Right down the bottom of League One. Now he's at Newport scoring worldies every other week, top of League Two. I mean, for Swindon's sake, I hope he can be recalled in January or something.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because that similar situation happened last year, again involving Swindon, with Owen Doyle being on loan and scoring an absolute hatful in the lead up to, well, in the first half of the season. And then that strange situation where he was recalled, but then bought and then moved on again since. So like you say, if you're Swindon right now, you're probably thinking, recall the boy and hopefully he'll turn our favours.
So no own goal there, James. Own goal, surely?
No own goal. I'm actually disappointed in myself, I won't lie. I've brought a good goal to the table for probably the first time ever. And Yeah, a bit disappointing. I've gone for Taylor Richards on loan from Brighton at Doncaster. He scored a great goal against Burton at the weekend. Not only is he, as he hit it from outside the area and managed to find the corner, he's picked the ball up on the halfway line, done a quite a clever little kind of spin, flicked it over the Burton midfielder, turned him and then sort of broken forwards and bent one into the back of the net. It's a great goal from Richards.
Yeah, it's a great finish, but I mean, no one's anywhere near him after he does that little flick. He strolls throughout the whole half pretty much, but
if he's not taking over
anything away
head.
From the goal.
Oh no.
He does. They do give him loads of space. Weirdly, the bit where he's under the most pressure is just as he's about to shoot. A couple of players realise, oh Christ, we probably should have closed him down. But the finish is great. I guess all that leaves me to ask you is, own goal?
No Deeney own goal. Penalty? No own goal. Deeney's not scored a penalty, although he has been in the news this week. We haven't really mentioned him, but I'm sure we'll mention that next week. He's a toxic member of the dressing room for a new manager. But anyway, I've not picked a Watford goal. Not picked a Deeney penalty. Not picked an own goal. Bradford, Harry Pritchard.
No finish.
Absolutely superb goal. I mean, if there was a team that needed a goal like that in the right at the end of the first half, obviously a goal that meant they went on to win the game. Ball forward from the centre half, O'Connor. And Pritchard's just brought it down absolutely brilliantly. And it just sits up and everyone's begging him to shoot and he does. It just flies in, sort of into the bottom corner, actually. But yeah, looked brilliant. Brilliant for the team.
Yeah, it looks better when it comes off the inside of the post.
Exactly.
What I would say is I would go 100% for that Bradford goal if it hits the top corner.
It's gone something too low for you.
I think, I don't know, but it's hard to argue with the context of the goal. I mean, they're in dire need of a win and that's one way to do it.
Yeah, if you want to get in the team for the whoever the new manager is, one way to do it.
And then obviously you've got to factor in that there's no chance we're voting for Luke. So...
I've already forgotten what his goal was. That's how much.
Right, I've got two to pick from them.
The thing is, I would vote for Luke's, but you just know that Twine's going to score again next week, another good goal. So he'll probably just bring it again then.
Yeah, I'm voting for the Doncaster goal. The way he flicks it over his head after receiving the ball and runs the length of the pitch. No one wants to tackle him and then whips it right into the far left corner. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, I'm sure they wanted to tackle him. It's just they couldn't get near him. I'm happy to concede to that goal this week.
I'll gracefully take a 3-0 win then.
Tell you what, this has got all the hallmarks of an absolute classic.
Well, really. Luke's turned up with a new round, a little quiz round. Thought I'd bring something to the table. A little predictions round where we sort of make a prediction about what might happen in the next game week. You can choose whatever you fancy. Obviously, the higher risk you go, the higher the reward. Do something a little bit fun to end the old podcast with a little prediction. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I like it. I think we can encourage the listeners to come up with their own predictions as well. threesacrowdpod@outlook.com. is the email if you want to email in a funny prediction. But what are we thinking this week, guys? Boxing Day, obviously, so anything can happen.
Yeah, Boxing Day predictions. I fancy a little prediction on Luke's new team. Oh. I'm going to predict that we see a Hayden red card for Carlisle against Bolton.
Ooh. Hang on.
Yeah, he has got a violent past.
We know them Haydens after a Christmas beer.
That's our first prediction, is it? Is a Hayden red card. Oh, dear. It never happened on the football pitch when I was on anyway, so maybe we are due one. Although Isaac Hayden has had a few in his career.
Yeah, he has.
Luke?
I really wanted to go high risk, high reward every week because I don't mind getting slated. I just want all the plaudits when it goes well.
Who's stopping you?
Yeah, I really wanted to.
I want something massive, so I'm going to go for a post-Christmas streaker. Don't think they're going to be naked, but I think someone's going to run on the pitch.
All I'll say to that is, not many fans in stadiums at the moment.
Yeah, that's high risk, that really high reward, James. Yeah. High risk, high reward.
Someone is going to break COVID rules by right, mask or no mask.
And where will the mask be?
I've gone big. Andy, what's your prediction?
And for God's sake, make it better than that.
I'm going to Ewood Park. I'm not actually, but for this game I am. Blackburn v Sheffield Wednesday. Mowbray, Pulis. Fight on the bench. I can see something. Mowbray's in recent years has been pretty reserved, actually. Where he just like slouches back on his chair. I can see Pulis getting angry and bringing out the worst of him this week. And if there's someone you don't want to get on the wrong side of, it's old Tone.
Tone.
So that's also that high risk, high reward. I think they all are. Hayden Redcar's looking quite promising now.
That looks like our only hope of a winner.
So like I'm just imagining the three of us paying our £10 to watch random games of football. And Luke's sitting there hoping for someone to run on the pitch. Andy's shouting at Pulis and Mowbray. Go on, hit him! And then all I'm just watching is Carlisle and hoping that Hayden makes an absolute horror tackle.
Yeah, well, Luke has got more games, hasn't he? So anything could happen there.
You could really have just gone with the manager bust-up, couldn't you? Very specific indeed from you.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take half a point.
High risk, high reward.
I think that offers up something a little bit different over the Christmas period for us to look out for anyway. And as Andy said, if any of our listeners decide that they want to make a prediction or two, then please don't hesitate to send them on in. I think all that leaves me to do, boys, is say have a good Christmas and I'll see you next week.
And Merry Christmas, chaps.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
As we go on, we'll probably get a little bit more conservative with our...
No, I'm going to high risk, high reward every week.
Every week I'll pick two managers that are about to have a scrap.
Quiz next.
Should we quiz?
Oh, I'm using my phone as a camera this week, so I can't cheat. Boxing Day predictions, what are you going to do? And then Luke said, how mental can I go? Can I guess that we'll get a dog on the pitch? And I was like, well...
Can I guess a dog on a pitch? Dog on the pitch. Are you going to say that every week?
Dog on a pitch. Luke, this is the 30th week in a row. Dog's on a pitch.
The one week. Would you one?
The one week that he goes... Do you know what? I've realised dog of the week's a bit ridiculous.
I'm sprinting to Ashton Gate and now putting a dog on the pitch.